Hey guys, this is Decade Later. We're going to be sitting down today with Pittsburgh Hodler, aka R.L. Breyer, to talk about his new book, Blockchain, Project Renaissance. We're going to be talking about our inspirations, common themes that we have through our studies of economics, and also a bit about what life is like going on around the world with the projects of different cryptocurrencies and the basis of blockchain. Thank you so much for tuning in, and this is Sales and Stanzas. Hi guys, this is Decade Later with Sales and Stanzas, and today with me is R.L. Breyer, author of Blockchain, Project Renaissance. How are you doing today?
Great, Anthony. I appreciate you having me on today. I'm excited to be on the show.
That's no problem at all. It's a pleasure. It's always great to meet somebody with a similar education and background and interests. First off, really, what I'd love to know, and obviously listeners, is what is the book about and where can they find this?
Yeah, the book is all about blockchain, my genesis in it. I have some terminology in there, and then I break down, you know, my vision and how I see the entire thing kind of playing out in the future. You know, the binary centralization versus decentralization in the overall political spectrum, and then the smaller, like, sort of binary in between centralization, decentralization in blockchains and cryptocurrencies alike inside the blockchain paradigm. So the book is going to be available on Amazon by this weekend, actually, and eBay as well. And then also I'm selling it through my email. If you'd like to get a hold of me that way to get a copy, it's Pittsburgh and then Hodler, Hodlr at gmail.com.
That's awesome. And I love that you have literally no barriers to entry on how you're selling it. It's a truly free market way to get your word out and really hack the system. What really got you into blockchain?
Yeah, my genesis was like, I heard about it in 2009 when Satoshi released the white paper. I pretty much read the white paper off the bat there, and then I didn't really get into it. I thought it was very interesting, but I didn't know if it could work. I had everybody telling me it couldn't work, but I was still pretty optimistic, but I didn't really start getting into it more until 2011. I was got pretty into politics and the Ron Paul movement, liberty movement here in the United States. And that sort of led me, Ron Paul led me to the Austrian School of Economics. And I started studying the Austrian School of Economics and their theory, and Murray Rothbard and Ludwig von Mises and all those greats. And I circled back to Bitcoin and blockchain then. And that really got me fired up about a free market alternative to money.
Absolutely. And as we kind of discussed before the show, I have a very similar background. I studied at Campbell University in the Lindley Fetterman School of Business under Derek K. Yonai, who introduced me actually personally to Bruce Yandel and Thomas Woods. We've read a lot of Mises and Rothbard. And it's really funny because I kind of had that same genesis. I was a little behind you. I was in 2013. It was my second year of living in Bogota, Colombia. But it was something that when I was studying, I really always was looking for some way to really solve the problems of imperfect information. And especially with what's going on down here with especially the Venezuelan diaspora, crypto's really taking hold. And even around the region, I've worked a lot with La BitConf, the Latin American Bitcoin and Blockchain Conference. Brock Pierce was there last year. So it's really great to meet people who got into this early and aren't just built up by the hype, obviously, the ups and downs of the price. And you being a hodler, you know the struggle. It's really the solutions that it brings, and that's how you could, in my mind, really tell somebody who's in it for the long haul versus the hype. What cryptos do you see in this moment? And not to kind of hype any coin, but which ones do you think are the closest to the original vision of Satoshi Nakamoto?
I'm still a Bitcoin advocate. I'm not a maximalist. I know that there's a divided camp right now between Bitcoin, the original, and Bitcoin's fork, which is, you know, they forked a few times, but the other big one, BCH, Bitcoin Cash. I do think Bitcoin Cash, it has a lot of the original vision at heart, and I'm interested in it as well, but I'm also interested in Litecoin. I think Ethereum's really interesting, what Vitalik Buterin has done with Ethereum. And then I'm also interested in Steam as a good way for people to get introduced to crypto. And it's a social media, runs on the Steam blockchain. It's a social media site, and you can, I've already seen people all around the world on there, and they're being able to gain, you know, earn some income there through cryptocurrency, like get their feet wet or whatever in the space, which I'm pretty, I think that, you know, like we were just touching on it, cryptocurrency isn't just a way to speculate. It's real money, and it's a great way for people all around the globe to gain some economic freedom.
Awesome, really cool stuff. And your book will be available on Steam it too, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I'm in the process of publishing it already on the Steam blockchain. I ran into a little bit of trouble there doing that, but yeah, Steam has hundreds of DApps, which are decentralized applications, and one of them is a platform that allows you to an application that allows you to publish your book on there. So that's just for example one of the great inventions and innovations already coming about on blockchain.
That's really cool. I was actually speaking with another American down here, and he actually got me back into writing as well. He's more of a poet. And we were discussing the idea of how somebody could publish anonymously, but still retain their rights. And Steam It was one of the ideas that we were talking about. And it's a really cool way to do it. As I mentioned, not just for wealth transfer, which in the case of that down here, Dash is very popular, especially with the Venezuelan population in Caracas, actually. People now have Bitcoin, Dash, dollars and euro prices in the market. They don't have Petros.
It's amazing.
They don't have sovereign bolivars. And actually, the Petro was copied from the Dash protocol, which is kind of funny.
I actually saw there was a documentary on YouTube that was just released. I'm not sure if you saw it yet or not, but it was all about the Venezuela situation and how many merchants are accepting Dash there now.
No, I didn't. Could you mention the name of that so that the listeners can find
it? I can't remember the name, but maybe I'll send it to you after we're done and you can put it
awesome.
In the link.
Sure, I'll put that in the description with your Steam It,
absolutely.
Steam It link and all your socials on there. One other thing I'd love to know is in terms of what projects you see, what are the, not necessarily the cryptos, but what projects are you looking at? Because obviously to write this book, you got to have your ear to the ground, you got to have a good, healthy bit of skepticism and not drink too much of the Kool-Aid. We don't want to go for a big connect on this. But what gets you into this?
Like I said, those are my top ones I named earlier as far as like blockchain and cryptocurrencies. But I'm also pretty interested in EOS, which is Dan Larimer's new child. He created Steam, and he also had a hand in BitShares, which is a decentralized app or exchange that allows you to get in and out of cryptocurrencies. I think EOS has a lot of potential. I actually met someone through the space that purchased my book that he's working on. Actually, it just was released last month, I think. It's called Freos. It's like a free or a it allows you to go on the internet. It's a plug and play sort of system where you can get on the internet and you have more of a privatized environment. So, you know, your anonymity and all, you can like we were talking about publishing anonymous. Well, this would allow you to do pretty much anything anonymous, and you don't have to actually get onto the dark web. You could actually just use this this application. So I think there's like a lot of potential in the next couple of years. You're going to see all sorts of inventions like that, where people are going to come up with ways to build onto these blockchains layers and just their own applications through the entire, you know, decentralized process.
Absolutely. That's one thing that when I really got into Bitcoin and blockchain, it was hearing Andreas Antonopoulos talking about how Bitcoin is more like a car and blockchain is the highway. And it was such a great analogy. It really resonated with me and really got me into a number of different projects that I work with, whether it be Hyperloop, which I just actually recently signed with them. It kind of takes these digital assets that people have in games and applies it to where they can trade and use it in their way, rather than just giving money to a game publisher. You mentioned earlier you also studied English, actually, which is kind of funny, because most people don't think of a humanities student would get into technology. What drove you to the entrepreneurial world? To obviously being a writer is being an entrepreneurial venture in itself, but what really drove
you? Yeah, I've always been interested in the entrepreneurial world. I think my first experience with capitalism was probably selling baseball cards on the school bus when I was a little kid. So I've always been interested in that. And then once I got into economics and started studying, you know, capitalism and voluntary exchange, you know, that's really the way the world goes around. And state interference is really how you stop production, and I think that's how really it's how you stop peace as well. So I really look at voluntary exchange, which is capitalism, if you have to put an ism on it, and this is how the world should work and cooperate more peacefully. And so that in itself, I think I've always wanted to be able to maybe someday employ some people of my own and start my own small business. You know, I have some small businesses, but to where I have, you know, a few employees myself, and then I feel like I'm actually helping everyone out. That's another reason I wrote the book and stuff. I want to educate people as much as possible. I don't want to see anybody in this space being taken advantage of, because I think this is like our chance to actually impact the world and do the best we can for humanity in our lifetime.
Exactly. And that's always it's always based on that one great quote. I think it was Neville Chamberlain. I'm paraphrasing here. The only thing that could stand, that allows evil men to succeed, is for good men to be silent. And And that's really the biggest thing. And I've seen that a lot down here since I left the U.S. It is kind of a wild west, but you do have the opportunity to make some really great changes if you stand up on that. And I love that entrepreneurial aspect of you. Obviously, you've dipped your toes in the entrepreneurial world, but you're looking to give back. You're looking to grow. You're looking to give an opportunity to somebody. And we had a few good discussions before about when you approached me about the book itself, and you had such a hustle that I've never seen in any writer, is to just directly reach out and contact people. And
thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It really reminds me of John Buchan of Charm Offensive. He wrote a drunk email to top 20 brands of the world and got actual feedback, like, hey, okay, let's talk. And it totally changed his career.
I appreciate that. It's funny, I'm taking a call with you right now. You're in Colombia, I'm near Pittsburgh, and then right before we get on here, I was talking to somebody in Cyprus. So it's like, you know, we're breaking down some barriers in the world with these technologies. So it's bringing us all together.
Absolutely, absolutely. One last question, especially since we're the podcast is about sales and marketing, is since you really kind of put your neck on the line, you put your reputation on the line, you wrote a book, and beyond that, you're even going as far as to market it yourself, cutting the middleman out from the middle there. What would you say is your biggest advice to somebody? Let's say they wrote a book, they want to get it out there. What's your sales and marketing hack that you would recommend?
Personally, I would say you have to be 100% in. Like you said, I'm out there doing it myself. So you have to be able to get up in the morning, and if that's what you want, you have to go get it. So you have to get online, and like you said, start messaging people all day long. And I wake up and I start doing that, and I don't stop until I go to sleep. So there's no television watching, and there's not a whole lot of leisure time right now. But this is like what I'm passionate about. So you got to find what your passion is, and then you got to go after it.
Awesome. Sounds absolutely great. R. O'Brien, thank you so, so much. The book is Blockchain Project Renaissance. And he also goes by Pittsburgh Hodler. We're going to be putting the links to find the book. It's on Steemit. It's going to be on Amazon, eBay. He has it at his email. And we'll put up all the socials so you can find it as well. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I'd like to do it again sometime.
Absolutely no problem, man. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
A portrait of the acrobat as a young man. Spinning in circles in the air over traffic, the cars spin in their own rotation, oblivious. The only safety net is the cloth I grip, never letting go, unless to contort and twist for those who may perchance observe. A simple mistake, a moment of lost concentration. It will all end, and then they will notice. They won't, however, until it's too late, to look up from their commute, their screens, their self-centric lives, just for a moment of horror and gore. But until then, I continue to spin, twirl, leap, and fall, never, ever to lose my holding, never to be noticed. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sales and Stanzas. Special thanks to Pittsburgh Hodler, R.L. Breyer, for talking about his book, Blockchain Project Renaissance. You could find it on Steemit, on Amazon. We're going to have all the links, and you can even hit him up on his email. He gave that to us to share with you if you want to grab a copy of that. Also want to give a big, big shout out to our preferred sponsor, Wax Up Candles. Wax Up, one word, WAXUP _candles. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook. Episode 4, we had Catalina Perez, the CEO and founder of Wax Up, on board. And we love, love, love what she's doing. She's coming up with amazing new styles for Halloween, so make sure to check those out. Latest hidden gem that I found recently. You can find them on Instagram at Real Mad Squabbles. So REALMADSQUABLZ. Real socially aware hip hop artist. Love his stuff. He's a mad spitter with a message, and he's going to be one of these days I'm going to get him on the podcast. And last but not least, abbygege.com, abbygege.com. Amazing Chinese and Asian art, where Abby has gotten them certified, made sure that it comes directly from the artist, gets it to you quickly, cheaply around the world. Use code word Anthony Space Conrad, all lowercase, for 5% off your order.